for a little scripture before we divide up for Sunday school. Last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson, this word obedient came up a few times. It says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves to the former lusts. And then also in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And that obedience. And I've been thinking about that this past week. So I want to turn to one passage here, maybe then one in the New Testament too, but in 1 Samuel 15. We're all familiar with this story of Samuel and Saul. In thinking about obedience. In verse 3, I'm just going to skip around a little bit. This was the instructions of what Samuel told Saul that the Lord told him to do. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. That was what he was supposed to do. Now let's go down to verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. So we see what would we call it, maybe a partial obedience, 90%, 95%. You know, it's kind of noteworthy as we go on down then to verse 13, what Saul says after this was done. Maybe let's go down to verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done what you said. It's a done deal. But then Samuel said, what meanest then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So he even brought out that I did what you said. But then Saul in 15 said, death brought from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord their God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I see that it's a little bit of a picture here. He accuses, isn't that our human nature? It says they have brought. You know, it's always when we find ourselves maybe at fault or disobedient, and we're confronted with that. It's always our human tendency to blame other people. It says they have brought this, and the people spared the best of the sheep. Then, of course, when it comes to the last sentence there, it says, the rest, he included himself with the part that they did obey God. So I believe we see the picture. But partial obedience, does that please God? That was just a challenge to me. You know, sacrifice in itself was good. Keeping of the best was a good thing. It was done over and over and over again, and it was required of them to bring of their best and do this. But are we willing to lay maybe some of those things that are good aside for the sake of obedience to God? There's also a little account here in Mark. Let's go to the New Testament, Mark 11. First, maybe in verse 1, the account of what the two disciples were told to do. Jesus himself said this. You know, it's no wonder maybe that I thought of that verse that where the Bible says, I think it's in Matthew, where it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that do, you know, obedience. We can say, Lord, Lord, we can have that sacrifice, that religious sacrifice, so to speak. I came across that saying. I believe it go right along with what we talked about there in 1 Samuel. We have a tendency to substitute a little religious sacrifice for genuine obedience to God. And that can be a problem today. You know, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I believe a form, we can have that form. We can say, Lord, Lord, we can come to church and be that way outwardly. But I believe without obedience, obedience is, I believe, what gives us that power. And that was a challenge to me. Mark 11, 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and then Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And this is what he told them to do. And he says unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye have entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon it never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. Certain of them that stood by said unto them, why do ye loosen a colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. I believe that's as far. This just brought out that they did obey, even though, as I thought about that, even though it wasn't maybe exactly the proper way of doing it. I would have been taught to go ask the owner first, instead of starting to loosen it and then wait until they say, now, hey, what are you doing here? You're taking my colt. So sometimes, and it all worked out because they did exactly how the Lord told them. Maybe it's sometimes our culture or tradition or upbringing or training or family, we go on and on. We maybe gets in the way of total obedience. You know, it's not for this day. It's maybe not popular. We can make different excuses. But as a thought of this, that's just what I want to bring out. It was a challenge to me. You know, I just want to, you know, am I willing to lay maybe some of the good things even, what good things aside, things that are good in themselves for the sake of total obedience to God. So I just want to learn that myself. I believe the main thing is to just emphasize more, loving God more. And as we love him more, obedience won't be so much of a burden. It'll be a blessing and a power in our lives. But I trust that's what we can do this morning as we're here. We can learn to love, and our love and relationship with God can grow as we're together this morning.